good job. Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. We're continuing to preach through the book of Acts. And what we'll do is we're going to fast forward a little bit today. And let's just peruse real quickly over what happened in Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, well, his name was Saul at the time. It changes it later when he ministers in the Greek world. But he gets born again. And it's kind of interesting. It says that immediately he began to preach the gospel and confound everybody. And it says that after a little while, they had to send him away. And then the church enjoyed peace for a while because he was so on fire. But he had to go get some wisdom, and he spent some time on the backside of Arabia for a couple of years hearing from the Lord. And he had to escape from the town, and all these wild things were happening. It's great fun to read. And then we get into Peter. Peter has some great healings of a guy in a wheelchair who had been paralyzed, and he says, "The Lord heals you," and he stood up and is healed. And a young girl by the name of Dorcas is dead, and they call him over, and he prays for her, and she gets raised from the dead. Great things are happening. And today, we're heading towards a place when God wants to break out of the church prejudice, judgment, and he wants to open their eyes. If we can have our eyes open, we will see God do more things than we could ever imagine. Peter has just been ministering. These towns that Peter's been in are predominantly Gentile towns with Jewish believers in it. But God's about to blow the minds of every person. See, the church had already heard the command of Jesus, "I want you to preach this gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." But they had a strange idea, I think, that they were thinking that God wants us simply to go find all the Jewish people on earth because they had been scattered, and we want them to come to know Jesus as their Savior. But that was not God's plan. He wants every person of every nation, of every neighborhood, of every family to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But the church was so full of bigotry and hatred, they could not have their minds opened up any other way than what we're about to read today. God is about to blow their minds with what he's about to do. Would you go with me to Acts chapter 10? Again, it is important. I argue with myself all week long about how much scripture we're reading. But I want to read the scriptures. I want to study the scriptures on Sunday morning, so that we can understand what's going on. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. I use the ESV, English Standard Version Bible. It's the most technical, more probably the most difficult to read in public, let me tell you. But I want to be very technical in what we do. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what is known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms. Now, the word alms means the money you give to the poor. That's always a biblical term. Okay, alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour, again, the ninth hour would be 3 in the afternoon, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he heard, and he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having relayed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now today, this is the city of Jaffa. There's a couple of different ways of saying it, but this is an ancient city. It's still there today. Beautiful seaside city. These men represented everything the Jews hated. I mean, in America, we have a tendency to be racist and bigoted. Do we not? Kind of. Some people push it too far, and then some people don't push it enough, and I think we need to be in the middle on everything. But we have a tendency to think that certain cultures, certain places of the world are less important, as Americans. But God has called us to reach every people. Imagine when we came over to America, we just simply thought the natives were savages. It was our job just to push them off the land. I mean, it was, that's not Christian activity. A good thing a country can't be Christian. Only people can be. And so there's some problems we've had in our culture. But we're looking at it here. The Jews called Gentiles. Who are Gentiles? Everybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So everybody turn to your neighbor and say, good morning, Gentile. We're all Gentiles. They would call us unclean dogs. That was the nice terms they would have for us. And then not only was this a Gentile, but this was a Roman, and he was a Roman centurion, a leader. The Romans, a centurion at that, the people that oppressed the people of God. In the eyes of the Jews, the most hated person possible was wrapped up in this guy, Cornelius. So what does the Lord do? Well, Jesus begins to teach Peter how to see things his way. So Peter, and if you want to go online, you can find pictures of this beautiful seaside overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. And Peter's ending up sitting up on top of a house while somebody makes him lunch. And he's looking at this beautiful seaside. It's amazing. Now let's look at verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour of the day. That's 12. Remember, everything was from 6 to 6. The sun came up at 6, went down at 6. That's how they measured everything in that area. So about noon, he's hungry. There was no way to learn the things of God without spending time with Jesus in prayer. If you want to grow in the things of God, it is impossible unless you personally develop your prayer time, talking with the Lord, shutting out the noise. I still think of Pastor Ben's sermon here a couple weeks ago. Come out in Jesus' name. She's going to learn about Dad in a minute. But there's no way to learn this apart from Jesus. Look at verse number 10. I don't even know if I have a slide for this. As I look at my notes, I may have missed it. It says this: and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it was all kinds of animals and BLTs and bacon and all kinds of good food. And there came a voice and said to him, Peter, rise and kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common or unclean. This happened three times, and the thing that was brought down was taken up before him. Now, in the Old Testament, everything had to be established by what? Two or three witnesses. That's why the Lord did this three times. He was emphasizing, this is something I want you to understand. This is something I want you to know. I want you to understand that and Jesus taught us plainly, nothing that goes into your mouth can defile you. Only that which comes out of your heart defiles a person. So have all the ham sandwiches you want. Enjoy eating bullheads. Enjoy the blood sausage some of you weirdos like to eat. I mean, all this stuff. Jesus declared it all clean. And Jesus, in fact, didn't even call it food. He said, nothing you eat can defile you. So you can eat some dirt and it won't defile you. Jesus was trying to teach you the issue is the heart of people. That's where the evil rises out of, the very sinful condition of the fallen person. And we need a savior. But the Jews had all these rules. And we're going to talk about why we had all these rules. In the Old Testament law for the Jews, God had forbidden them to eat all kinds of animals, all kinds of things. But in this vision, Jesus was telling Peter to kill and eat. Peter must have thought at first that this maybe was some type of test from God to find out whether or not he was going to be faithful to all these old rules that they had. But God was about to change their mind. He was beginning to give a personal revelation to Peter that would change the Christian world from a Jewish Christian world to a Christian world. Jesus' command, what God has made clean, do not call unclean. This happened 3 times and established it as firm in God. So let's stop for a moment for a false doctrine alert. Anybody want a false doctrine alert? Everybody go, boop, 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 boop. False doctrine alert for a moment. I want to stop. There are Christians that are beginning, and I hear these things from all over the world. I hear these things from all over our country, a bit different pastors. And so I want to make sure that as things would roll through our area, we are prepared to handle false teaching with truth. How would you like that? Does that sound good? Okay. Well, there are Christians that are beginning to revert back to the Old Testament law and the teaching about food. And they are beginning to tell people that following the Old Testament law makes me closer to God. Now, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I just feel that following these Old Testament rituals, these Old Testament food laws, these Old Testament times and dates, and worshiping on Sabbath on the Saturday, it makes me closer to God. Let me tell you right now that that is a demonic statement. It is completely of Satan to say that I'm going to do these outward things and these outward things are going to make me closer to God. There's a balance here. Okay, don't get freaky on me. Let's stay in balance. But for one person to say, I think you eat bacon and I don't, I'm closer to God because I don't eat bacon. That's of the devil. Now, if you say, for health reasons, I'm not eating bacon, that's okay, right? But do not claim that those foods or those rituals will draw you closer to God. It doesn't. Now, let me give you some scripture on it. Look, this says, what does the Bible say about people? One of the things, the whole book of Galatians is written to a church where a group of people called Judaizers had come. All these people accepted Jesus. Remember, let's say that everyone in this room just became born again in the last 2 years. Oh man, we're just learning this stuff. And all of a sudden, people show up from Jerusalem, and this guy goes, all right, man, you're all going to hell unless you get circumcised. What? Think of that altar call. You're all going to hell unless you follow all the Old Testament rules. You're going to hell unless you worship on Saturday. You Christians have been worshiping on Sunday, which we always have because Sunday is the Lord's Day, all the way from the very beginning. I got all kinds of things we could talk about. That's another sermon. But they came in, and what happened is Paul said, who has bewitched you? Who has thrown you into such confusion? Paul actually said, I am worried that my labors for you have been in vain. Now, again, balance. Let's put it in balance. It's great to go to the Old Testament, learn about the Old Testament ways, learn about how the day of Pentecost, what was it about, how did they celebrate it, the day, the Passover, the Yom Kippur, all this stuff. But the whole issue is all those things point to one place. And where's that one place? Jesus. But the church got into confusion, especially in the book of Galatians, Colossians, and other places, and people began to separate and split the church. Here's the Apostle Paul's response to this. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 4 says this, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace.
Well, Pastor, it's just in all how you interpret it.
Really? There's no interpretation of this. Now again, we got a variety of different health reasons we eat different foods here. I eat different foods because I like to eat. My idea of health food is anything that can keep you alive on a desert island. Twinkies, Coca-Cola, I don't care. It keeps me alive, I'm ready to go. Now obviously that's not too bright if that's my diet. Dr. Joe would tell you that in a big hurry. But we're all going to eat different things. Let's not spiritualize it. And I know people, I've talked to them, not in our church, but around all over the place, I hear these things coming in, that if you try to say, I worship on Saturday and I eat beans and rice, I'm more spiritual than you are. No. In fact, I had a guy, a local guy, you all know who he is, came into our staff one meeting one time, and he was so concerned. He was doing some work. We hired him here at church. He was so concerned because our whole staff was going to hell because we worship on Sunday and we don't worship on Saturday. And I showed the word, and they don't want to hear the word. They only want their tradition. But the Bible says, if I say I am closer to God because of the day I worship on, because of the food I eat, yeah, I am severed from Christ and I have fallen from grace. Do I have any more scriptures on that? Well, what's the purpose of the Old Testament law? Well, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 20 tells us this. Obviously, I like this is a New Living Translation. I like how it says this. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Moses went up on the mountain after the people heard the Ten Commandments. And as he was up there, the people made themselves a golden calf. So then when God calls him up the mountain, God began to pile on the laws. God's desire was that everybody would go up the mountain and hang out with Moses and the Lord, and they would have a great time. But they rejected that. So God began to, if you read the book of Exodus, you'll notice law after law after law after law after law after law after law. Things that just are so weird. You figure out, why are they? Now, some of them are the moral law. How do we determine which ones we follow? The ones that are backed up in the New Testament. So the Ten Commandments is backed up. The one thing that people trip over is, thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. Well, the entire book of Hebrews answers the question that Jesus Christ has come to give us rest from our struggle. We have a Sabbath rest in Christ from our struggle against sin. It answers it right in the book of Hebrews. It's not what day we're on, and this kind of stuff. And then there's this thing that if we have this guy who used to be Jewish and he gets born again, that somehow he is super Christian. Have you heard this? Oh, we're going to have a messianic Jew in church. He's going to preach. What's going to happen today? We're going to read in here that God is no respecter of person. Doesn't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, male or female, what country you come from, what's your background, who are the people you hang out. He says he has no respecter of persons. All can come freely to the Lord. Amen. Now let me give you a quick illustration. Now let's get that illustration. Let's move on. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. It says this. So do not let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Do not let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. Although, you know, you can't even have a BLT. Come on, have a break. Or the worship of angels, saying they have visions about these things. You know, most people, again, play Pentecostal poker. Right? I've got two visions and three I heard from the Lord's. I got a full house. You know, they use these things. But you know what the one thing they don't want to use is the word. Use the word. Come on, somebody say preacher. Amen. Okay, just checking. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ. Is that plain? And I could go on after scripture talking about this, that when we attempt in our own efforts to follow our own rules, that we then can present that before God as something righteous and holy that he can have, is garbage. I'm sorry for being so subtle. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that makes us righteous. It is what Jesus did on the cross in his resurrection that brings new life. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Amen? Now, it's because of Jesus and because we are born again, we choose to do certain things in life. We follow the words of God. Now, you've got a lot of Old Testament stuff. Is it backed up in the new? Well, Jesus, like I already told you, blew out the doors on all the food laws. He already did it. And he's doing it again in what we're reading here. So that's just a real quick false teaching alert. Now, is it wrong for us to study Jewish things? No. Study the Old Testament? No. To have a Seder supper? Oh, those are fun. I mean, we learn, and then when we learn this, we go, how can't they see Jesus? Well, look at all these things that point to Jesus. See, that's what they're all for. It's amazing. We want to know about the feasts. We want to know about the Old Testament. Why? Because it points to? That's why we study it. So there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with, one time I was watching TVN one time, and some dude was selling a Jewish prayer shawl. And said, boy, if you want to get closer to God and you want your prayers answered, you get yourself one of these Jewish prayer shawls and you pray underneath the anointing of God, you're going to get a miracle. And I'm going to get a new Mercedes. Yes. Send your money in today, only $69. Anybody seen those kind of things? Let's just be done with all that craziness. So, those things have come in. They've tried to flow their way through this area. A few people try to have... No. It's okay to be... we can learn so much. But it all points to Jesus. Amen? Well, let's move on from that. This is what Jesus was breaking out of Peter's life, so that he would understand God's ways. Let's look at verse 17 now. It says, now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry of Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out and asked whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the man and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by all the Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So here's where we know Peter learned something really quick, verse 23. So he invited them in to be his guests. A Jewish person would never have done that, because you are Gentile dirty dogs. But God was breaking that prejudice out of his mind. When just one person is willing to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and be obedient, God can do amazing things. Just one person. Look at verse 23. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. This is very important. We don't do anything secretly or in the corner. Christians do everything openly. Here's our doctrine. Here's what we believe. Here's the standards by which you must measure. Here's the standards by which you are called to live this life for Jesus. And Jesus says that people are supposed to Examine and check it out. Some of us have pushed people too quickly to pray the prayer and they don't know what they're getting into. They're supposed to know what God is calling them into. They're supposed to know that God, if you're going to do this, baby, this is what God's standard is. And if you don't want God's standard, you can't have God. And let them go away and think about it. Then they come back and they're ready because they've examined it. Jesus commanded us to do these things. So a bunch of guys go as witnesses, Jewish, they're Jewish people that go with Peter to witness this. Now, the guys that went with Peter are going to be critical in just a little bit. Look at verse 24. And now, the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Notice something. He had already prepared them. He had already told them, get ready. I had a vision. An angel spoke to me, and we're going to hear how to be born again. Okay, verse 25. They probably didn't use that word born again, but he's going to hear the truth on how to get right with God. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I, too, am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. Can you imagine Peter comes in and he's in the entry of this place and this Roman centurion drops up. Oh, it's you. Oh, pray, I worship. Thank you for coming. Get up. Stop it. I am just a guy like you are. And again, breaking his thought that he was superior to him. I am not superior to anybody. And this is what the world looks at the church. When we have debates about what is right and what is wrong in our culture, we must always remember to add this phrase, I am not better than any other person. God has spoken to my heart and convicted me of my sins, and I've repented. And he continues to speak to me about my sin that I might repent and be closer to him. I have trusted Jesus, and I believe that Jesus is calling you out of this sin that you're involved with. And people go, well, you don't think you're better than us? No, I'm probably lower than you. They need to hear these things. And Peter lets them know, I am just a man. I am not better than you. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found the persons gathered. Can you imagine? You could walk in and here's a room. And this centurion probably had a huge place. There's probably 20, 30, 40 people sitting there ready to hear. They're prepped and ready to go. He had opened up his home. A marvelous thing was about to happen. Verse 28. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why have you sent for me? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God. Now, this guy did not say, come over, I'm going to make steaks. He didn't do a bait and switch. Many Christians do this. Years and years and years ago, we had a mom that wanted to have a thing at her house. None of you know this person. And she says, we're going to tell all the kids, we're going to give away an Xbox, and we're going to give away a TV, and we'll get them all over, and we'll have a big party, and then we'll just turn it into a Bible study. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. Well, why? Because you are lying to people. On false pretenses, you're getting them to your house. And then you're switching on them. We don't have to play games. Come on. Christians don't bait and switch on people. We have just one thing, and his name is Jesus, and we proclaim the cross and Jesus crucified and risen from the dead, and when people are touched by the Holy Spirit, they're going to want to know what we got. Amen? We don't have to play games with people. We can be straight up and straightforward with people. We can stand with our shoulders square and tell them the truth with love, the love of Jesus. We don't have to play games. Amen? These people's hearts were all ready to hear what Peter had to say and watch what happens. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, today I understand that God shows no partiality. God doesn't have favorites. We're all level at the foot of the cross. Amen? Verse 35. But in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here's the question. When is a person born again? When is a person transformed into a new creation? When they come forward, pray a prayer with somebody at the altar, get a little booklet, go to a class, get baptized. When does it happen? We have an answer here. It happens when the truth of God falls into a heart that's open to God, and they say yes. These people have done nothing but hear. They showed up. Cornelius, they knew Cornelius was a guy that prayed, knew Cornelius was a guy that was seeking God but didn't know God yet, and he said, they knew that Cornelius said, I had this vision, you got to come to my house, we are going to hear the words of God from a man of God, and we're going to be told how to get right with God. And as Peter spoke, and I'm quite sure what we just read was a very quick little snippet of probably an hour sermon, and he taught them about the things of the Lord. Their hearts were so open. What happened next? Wow. Let's look at verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, which means the Jews, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on Gentiles. Look how it's written. Verse 46. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Could you imagine all your life wanting to know how to be right with God, and someone tells you, and all of a sudden God moves on you, you begin to speak in another language, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You see, we live in the north. Frozen, chosen. When we get saved, we're like, yay. I'm born again. I'm so excited. Yay. Let's eat some lutefisk now. Let's not get crazy. But you notice, you go other places and people get born again. We think those people are weird, don't we? You know what we say here? We are naughty. We are way naughty people. You know what most people say? We'll see how long this lasts. Have you ever said it? It got really quiet. We must have all said it. But when Jesus moves on a person, he changes everything. These people begin to speak in tongues. And they're just like, wow. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extol God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? Who have received the Holy Spirit, get ready with your pens, get ready, underline, just as we have. And he commanded them to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. They asked him to remain for some days. Could you imagine walking into this? Could you imagine being given this opportunity to tell people about Jesus? There's a number of things I want us to emphasize here. First of all, when are people born again? We learn right there when their hearts are open. Many people are born again sitting right where they're sitting, And as they hear the message of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit moves on them, and they open their heart and are saying, yes, yes, I want this, I want this. That's when God enters them and changes them and radically. Yeah, we confirm that thing by coming to the altars and we pray, and all of us feel better because somebody came to the altar. But man, God changes people. How many people have I heard who have just simply watched or heard the gospel preached on TV, and they say yes to what's going on, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they are born again sitting right in their home, or people sitting in parking lots, or people listening online. There's a million different ways, but God knows an open heart when he finds one, and he fills it. Amen? The moment they opened their hearts in faith to Jesus, and they repented of their sins, there was an inward transformation. The reason, then the second thing I want to look at this, the reason the Jewish witnesses knew that the Gentiles, that these new believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, is they heard them speaking in tongues. Now, have you ever heard someone, well, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but no one should hear you. Be quiet. Have you ever heard that? Now, if there's tongue and interpretation in tongue like we had today, tongue interpretation tongue happened today. Sometimes it's more ecstatic than that, where the Holy Spirit comes on you and he hits you and you're praying, you pray out in tongues like that. That has to be interpreted. Some people say that's the only thing acceptable in church. Really? Get over it. Everywhere I read, they had a church service. People got filled with the Holy Spirit and everybody heard them. On the day of Pentecost, they heard a wild sound and noise, and the crowd gathered as they heard them speaking in tongues. People didn't go, oh, you can't hear them. Why are we so ashamed of this? Why do we want to hide this and tuck it under the chair and not, God has given, now we obviously, we know people can get freaky with this, right? Then get weird. People get weird, we're just going to smack them. With the love of Jesus, we'll smack them real good. We've had things happen in our church, we've dealt with it, and people have learned. It's okay, but I think sometimes we're just a little too subdued. God has given us something awesome. But how did they know they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I just believe people can be filled with the Holy Spirit if they say really nice things to people. No, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the sign. The biblical sign is you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. And he says this. Here's the key phrase. Who have received the Holy Spirit just like we have. They remember back to the day of Pentecost, which is 3 years before this. They said they're getting it just like we did. The standard, the measurement is, did they receive it like we did on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on us? We began to speak in another language and God transformed us into people that walked in his power. You see, many people don't want to believe. They hate tongues. People hate tongues so much, they want to make up doctrines that don't exist in the Bible. Well, you don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, really? What's in the Bible? And then they were baptized. What is the importance of baptism? What is the importance of baptism? Baptism identifies you as a follower of Jesus and as a member of the church. Baptism is a physical illustration of an already done spiritual reality. I'm born again, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm buried with Christ, I'm risen with Christ. And baptism shows me that picture, that I've trusted in Jesus, my old life is buried, done with, I'm risen in new Christ with Christ, I'm waiting for Jesus to return. That's why we do not baptize babies. Why? It doesn't exist. I was talking with a very strong Lutheran man one day at Office Max one day. He goes, well, we just believe that Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. So we let the little children come in and we baptize them. And then the question is, but when they brought them to Jesus, what did Jesus do? It says he laid hands on them and blessed them. He didn't dunk them in a tank. You ever seen that freakish one from an Eastern Orthodox church? Oh, you can pull it up on YouTube where kids, my boys were watching one day at lunch on a Sunday. They take the baby by the ankles and they got a tank about this deep. They go, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And the kid's like, wah! No wonder the kid never wants to go back to church. The first thing he ever experienced was trauma and pain. Jesus was dedicated as a baby. And then when Jesus was 30 years old, he was baptized. You don't baptize baby. And I don't care. I still have $1 million bounty for anybody that can find me a scripture about baptizing babies. It doesn't exist. So we do it differently. We do it the way the Bible says, right? But how many people you know are like the Jews of old? This is my tradition and I'm sticking with it. And then you find out that their kids aren't serving Jesus. And then their grandkids don't even bother to come to church anymore. And now they're a pagan family. Because they don't trust Jesus. And they don't trust the Bible. How many people say, let's follow the Bible? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm in the right place today. Now let me give you one more thing, because I have another teaching here. I'm going to quit. But I want you to go quick me. Peter, after this happens, has to go back to Jerusalem. And what's happening in Jerusalem is very good, but very challenging at the same time. A bunch of the priests get saved. A bunch of the Pharisees get saved. And they hear the leader of the church. That leader of the church, he was over at Gentiles' houses and he ate with them. How dare he? And they question him. So they have a full church meeting. And Peter explains everything we just went over. And then Peter says some very interesting words. It's very important to go to chapter 11. And I don't know if they'll be able to find it on the screen here. But verse 15, Peter tells everything we just read in detail to this whole group of people. And he says this, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. So how did the church leader of the day, Peter was the big dog. It only could have been Peter that this could have happened through. Only through Peter, who was, everybody recognized him, he's the dude, he's the leader. Only through Peter could Peter break this prejudice and go to the Gentiles. And then Peter says, now guys, they got the Holy Spirit just like we did. And then you go down to verse 17. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave it to us, who when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Once we get so far through the book of Acts, I'm going to give you a grid we're all going to go through. We're going to learn how we understand our theology and why we believe what we believe. But when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people are not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit until they speak in tongues. Are they being filled? Sure they are. Remember what Ian Hall taught us? You pour the water, and all of a sudden it gets right to the edge. You're being filled, and one more drop, it overflows, and you're baptized. And that's the tongues. The tongues begin to flow, and God gives you a new language. I want to encourage every person here to begin to pray. Say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me. I just had one of the most encouraging meetings this week with the pastor from Calvary Chapel, Mike Montgomery. What a great brother in the Lord. We're scheming to do some things for Jesus in this town. But we're sitting there at Applebee's, and he talks about how he's in college, and his friend goes off and visits Grandpa, who used to be an Assembly of God pastor. And he came back different. And he kept pushing him. What's with you, dude? There's something different about you. What is going on? And it took him a while. Finally, the guy goes, okay, I just don't want to freak you out. But went and visited my grandpa. He prayed for me. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. He goes, really? That's interesting. And he talks about how they talked about it. And they were out at this college. I don't even know where this college is. But they were sitting on the bank that slowly goes down to the football field. And he's telling them about speaking in tongues and how God moved. And he goes, would you want me to pray for you? Yeah. He prays for them. And they just sit there. And all of a sudden, this is the pastor at Calvary Chapel. It says the Holy Spirit came on him and he sensed the presence of God so powerful. And he said, all of a sudden I start speaking in tongues. And I start praising God. It was awesome. And he changed. He says the next day, this little Chinese dude came to their dorm and sat down and began to tell him some of the weird things he was in. They prayed for him. He starts manifesting demons. And he's laying on the floor flopping around. And these are just brand new baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, what should we do? Well, we should do what the Bible does. Let's command it to go. And so they start doing it. And guess what it did? It left. And then he got thinking, I better call my pastor back home. His pastor's a Presbyterian pastor. He calls him up and he tells him everything that just happened. He goes, good, it's about time you got it. Oh, maybe we're a little prejudiced, huh? Because God can do what he wants, with who he wants, where he wants, and he's put people all over the place because he wants to pour out his Holy Spirit and change the world. Amen? Ah. This is all I want to leave with you today. Hunger for him. Are you hungry for this? Are you hungry? Don't sit around and say, we need revival, we need this, we need that, we need this, if you ain't doing nothing. I don't want to hear it. But if you're walking and praying and seeking God, and fasting, and saying, God, we got to have it. And you're saying, God, change me so I could be the answer. I want to hear your voice so that one person that hears the voice of God and is obedient and touches one life could blow up this whole town. Do you believe that? Oh, God, make us, give us the ability to hear your voice. Give us the ability to have the strength of the Holy Spirit to obey, to love people, and to hear exactly what God is saying. Because the Holy Spirit so led him, and he broke out of the church this prejudice. He brought true New Testament teaching that today we live in. I mean, God wants to touch everyone. There's not one person that you can pass by today and say, God doesn't want to touch him. Talking to Pastor Gary, there's a church in northern Chicago. Do you know why you never hear about northern Chicago and shooting and murder and killing there? Because there's a great big church there. De Jesus is there. And they have a church of 7,000? 7,000 people. They have transformed northern Chicago. There's no gang wars there. There's no people being murdered there. But there was a church that used to be in South Chicago, and they left. What do we hear about all the time in South Chicago? More people were killed in South Chicago during the span of the Iraq War. More were killed in Chicago than were killed in Iraq. That's crazy. But you don't hear about northern Chicago because one guy, I don't know, you remember, you know who I'm talking about? This guy was when Time Magazine put out the 100 most influential people in the world. This De Jesus, what's his first name? What? Yeah, whatever that is. This Spanish dude, I can't speak Spanish, bendito sea el nombre de Dios. He hears from God, he goes where people are being killed, and he starts a church and has transformed an entire area for the glory of Jesus. Not because they voted in the right person in the government, not because they had more gun laws, not because they had poured more money into their schools, but because Jesus shows up when people hear his voice and are obedient. Amen? I can't make you do anything. It's got to be the Holy Spirit moving on you where you say, God, I got to hear your voice. God, I want to do something for you. Show me where my place is. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Oh, God, show me what I'm supposed to do. You see, we've been praying for unity in the churches in town. I just found a new brother on Friday. I'm excited. I'm excited. I want to bless them. I want to see that church grow. I want us to win this city to Jesus. Amen? Are you with me? Let's stand together. I'm going to tell you this. Next week, bring someone with you. If they won't go to church, they'll go to the beer tent. And I already have. God gave me my message. My message is called Better. That's my message, Better. And I'm going to talk about Jesus. All I want to do is talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. Because when you proclaim Jesus, the people sitting there, their hearts are going to be opened because Jesus is going to open their hearts and Jesus is going to move on them. I remember talking to Doc Nichols. He was preaching at a giant one denomination in South India was getting together. They had almost 1 million people on the grounds. 650,000 people responded to the altar call. And then they went and had lunch. They were sitting, because if you go to these foreign places, in Argentina they do it, and all over these other places, all over Africa, they go and you're having lunch, because the preacher's been preaching, they have lunch, they sit there, and people minister to people. Well, all of a sudden they came back where they're having lunch and said, "You guys, hey, huh? You got to get out here. Everybody's speaking in a strange language and we don't know what to do." It was CSI, Church of South India. They're not Pentecostal, they are now. And they said, all these people are at the altar and they won't go away and they're all speaking a language they don't know. What do we do? Isn't that cool? God lets, I am praying and I'm saying, "Lord, I don't want to get on another airplane and go somewhere else hoping to see it. I want it here. You're the same God here." So here's the question then. Does PT have to come up with everything? My brain ain't that big, people. I know the Bible. I know what God's called us to do. But God wants to impart into you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you. He wants to have you go in and see a vision. He wants to speak to your heart about something to do. And our job as a church is, first of all, make sure you're not nuts.
"Well, I just feel God called me to be a stripper at the strip club because I want to reach people for Jesus." Well, you know, I think we got a problem with that. No, you laugh at this, but we hear stuff like this. Okay? So that's why we need a church and we need to be accountable to each other and help each other, okay? But we want to empower anybody that has a vision from God to reach people for Jesus. Amen?
Do you want to do it? Let's tell them. We're going to close in prayer. You talk to Jesus. Why I talk to Jesus? Because it's really weird for you just to listen to me talking to Jesus. You're kind of a creeper, aren't you? Quit listening in on my conversations. I'm going to talk to Jesus. You talk to Jesus right now. Okay? Well, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Hear the prayers of your people today. Lord, we are here as a people to say we want to hear the voice of God. Lord, we want to hear you and we want to walk in obedience and we want to see people saved. We want to be a part of this. We don't want to watch it from the outside. We want to unite with other churches that believe in Jesus Christ and the gospel of the resurrected Savior. Lord, we want to unite with them as brothers and sisters. We pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray right now that you would begin to speak to us, that each one of us would get away from the noise this week and hear your voice. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what they're doing, Calvary Chapel's doing to this week? Right now at 11 o'clock, they started their service at Central Park. And I was talking with Mike, and he goes, "Hey." People said, "Well, why don't we go over there?" Go over there. He goes, "I want to go right in the middle." So when these people are walking out of their churches, they actually hear the Bible. I mean, like, wow, I like this guy. Me and him are brothers. He says, you know, I want him walking out going, people going, "Hey, what is that strange book he's got in his hand?" It's gotten that far, hasn't it? People don't know the Bible. Well, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. Next week, so bring people. I want that place to be packed. Bring your lawn chairs. And let's just be a bunch of people that really love Jesus. Amen? Lord bless you. Have a great day.